Well, it'd be great if you had Psalm 3 open, maybe in a Bible at home, or maybe from the service sheet. Let's pray together. We read in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Our gracious Heavenly Father, we've heard that from your word we've just sung about being ready to obey and to listen to your word. Please help us to know true blessing and true life as we trust and follow the King and seek to obey his words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, somebody has described Psalms 1 and 2 as the double doors of the book of the Psalms. If you could imagine our church building, those of you who know it, who are watching online, we have double doors that you have to walk through. And I want you to imagine Psalms 1 and 2, before we come to look at Psalm 3, as the double doors of the book of the Psalms. So the first door to walk through is Psalm 1. Blessed is the righteous man who believes and follows God's word. And then in Psalm 2 that we looked at last week, there is God's King whom God has installed to reign forever. It's like a prophetic psalm. God's Son, his Christ, is going to rule the nations, and the ends of the earth are going to be his inheritance. And all the enemies of God's King will be judged. But wonderfully, there is refuge for those who seek. There is blessing for those who find their refuge in him. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And let me say that if you are seeking this morning, if you come with questions, what a great thing to be reminded of right up front, that blessing and true life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the King who reigns. But after the great triumph and blessing of Psalm 2, we walk into all the muck of life, that memorable phrase from a writer, Dale Ralph Davis, because Psalm 3 brings us right down to earth. And there are many challenges and difficulties in being a Christian. I want to ask, who or what are your enemies this morning in trying to trust and follow Jesus Christ? Maybe there will be people, in fact not maybe, almost certainly, around you who openly deny that God exists and who certainly don't recognize his Son, Jesus Christ, as the one who alone can save and bring us back into a right relationship with God. And maybe those deniers are people who are very close to you, maybe in your family, maybe at school, maybe at work. Who will protect you and sustain you through this coming week? Who will give us peace and hope through this coming week? Well, this psalm, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, is for you. Maybe we know the enemy of evil. We're told in 1 Peter that the devil prowls around like a lion looking for people to devour. Who will protect us from that lion? This psalm, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, is for you. Maybe you're faced by the enemies of death and disease. Yes, some of us think about those things every week. If you're young, you don't think about those things, probably. But who will give us hope and reassurance and peace in the face of those great enemies? Maybe you experience the great enemy of doubt. Can we really trust the God and Father of Jesus Christ, whom we don't see? I mean, look what's happening all around me. Does he really reign? in all the muck of life? Can he really bless me in all the muck of life? Well, this psalm fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ is for all of us. And Psalm 3, as you'll see as we look at it, the title is there and is part of the inspired text of Scripture, is a psalm of David. David is God's anointed king in the Old Testament, but here he's suffering. Exactly as Psalm 2 has said, the rulers of the earth take their stand against God's king, and they gather against him. And that's what exactly is happening. We dive straight into all the muck of life, and King David is experiencing that. And on the outline, I've put this as my first heading, that in life, enemies are many, mean, and mocking against God's king and his people. So in life, enemies are many, mean, and mocking against God's king and his people. So if you look at the title of the psalm, you'll see that it actually gives us the historical setting. It's one of the great things about some of the psalms. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And in 2 Samuel 15, we read how Absalom had turned against his father, and he raises a large army, and David has to flee from Jerusalem, God's holy city, and many of Israel sided with Absalom against God's anointed king. And so the people are turning against God's true king. They're denying him. We'll look at verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Selah. Selah might mean pause and reflect. It might be a musical direction, something of a crescendo for the person doing the music. But notice that three times David stresses he faces many foes or enemies. And these many enemies of God's king are mean. They don't want him to rule. In fact, more than that, they want to kill him. And these are his closest family and his closest friends. And they're mocking. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. This God is no good. He can't save this king. And look how David prays to his covenant Lord, capital letters, L-O-R-D. Remember the Lord, Yahweh. He had made great promises to his people, and David lays claim to the character of the Lord and his promises in all the muck of life. So firstly, we have the many enemies, mean and mocking, against God's king. But then secondly, in the Lord, and I think in the outline I've put in the Lord Jesus Christ, but let's just say in the Lord, we've all we need, because God's king will save his people. Look what David says about his covenant Lord, what he can do. It's worth remembering, keep it in mind, his throne is insecure, his crown is nearly gone, his city's been lost, his family are against him, all earthly glory is disappearing, he's on the run, being pursued, many enemies, but he has protection. Verse 3, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. I love that. David knows the Lord's 360-degree protection. On every side, in every situation, the Lord has him covered. He knows his presence. You bestow glory on me, verse 3, and lift up my head. I think actually a better translation is, you are my glory. So circumstances might be difficult. There are enemies all around, but he finds in the Lord his glory, the covenant Lord. Everything he needs is in the Lord. And you lift up my head. I love that picture. Think of a child whose head is down, perhaps crying, and the hand of the parent comes down under the chin and lifts up the head, lifting the child out of shame and guilt and sorrow and despair, and the child looks up into the eyes of a loving parent. And the Lord lifts up David's head, and David looks to his Lord. Now, the muck of life is still all the same. But in the Lord, David has everything he needs. And there's peace. Verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. So into the David situation comes the Lord's sustaining power and peace. Now, let me say, we can't use this prayer in any way as a promise of sleep. Indeed, there are other psalms when David can't sleep and instead he prays through the night. But you see, the point is David trusts the Lord and he does sleep. When he wakes, what does he find? Well, the problem's still there. Look at what verse 6 says. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me. What he has is peace and sustaining power in all the muck of life as the enemies crowd in. And look at the access in prayer that he has. Verse 4. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. So David brings his problem to God in prayer. The problems are huge, but David prays. And the Lord answered him, and he answers me from his holy hill. That is Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem. So David's had to vacate Jerusalem. Absalom is in rebellion against him. But David knows that the Lord is still sovereign. The Lord's throne doesn't change. Whatever is happening in all the muck of life, in all the swirl of human actions. And so it's worth praying. And then there's hope. A victory over enemies can be won. Look at how the enemies of David are pictured. They're pictured as wild animals and as ravenous beasts. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. David prays. And he prays with hope. And in verse 8, there is confident hope that the Lord will give victory and salvation. From the Lord comes deliverance. See, the Lord, Yahweh, had always given victories for his people. And because the king will win, that means blessing for God's people. Verse 8, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Victory for God's king will mean blessing for God's people. The enemies of the king will be defeated. And that must mean that his people will be blessed. The king's prayer is not for himself, but it is also not just for himself, but also for the people. Now, this psalm can't immediately be our prayer, can it? I mean, look at the military language. And it's a prayer of God's anointed king. Now, yes, David is a man of faith. And he's like us in that way. And he's also a miserable sinner like us. But he's unlike us in that he is God's anointed king. And his kingdom is falling apart. So we must understand this psalm fulfilled in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, the risen Jesus says that the psalms foretell his suffering and death and resurrection. And also they foretell the experience of his people as they serve the king and as his gospel goes out to all nations. So just reflect on King David. David's reign would end in disaster. This is part of the disaster. It started so well. He is not the righteous man of Psalm 1, nor was he God's king who would bless the nations with his rule. There was a bit of blessing for Israel for a while, and then it all fell apart. But years later, God would send his one and only eternal son as a man, the perfect righteous man of Psalm 1, who perfectly follows the law of the Lord. But to enter his kingdom, Jesus had to suffer and be rejected and die. Indeed, all these early psalms about the suffering of God's anointed king that Jesus would take as the pattern for his life. And as Anna reminds us, they become the pattern for all those who will follow. So just think of the Lord Jesus' life. In Mark 3, verse 6, we read how the Pharisees and the Herodians began to plot to kill Jesus. That early in his ministry, people conspired against God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the next chapter, Mark 4, we find Jesus able to sleep in a wild storm. Night after night, he knew peace with his Father, despite all the enemies and disaster that's going on around him. In John 18, we find that Jesus had to flee Jerusalem himself. And then that Jesus was betrayed, he was arrested, he was tried, many conspiring against him. And then there's that Jerusalem mob, crucify him. And in the midst of that betrayal and opposition, Jesus trusted his Father. And then think, as he goes to the cross to die for sinners like you and me, they mocked him. They mocked him. Let him come down from the cross. See if, you know, God will save him. And there is the extraordinary irony, see, that he has to die to save his enemies, sinners like you and me. See, he is faithful where David and so many others, other kings fail. And that's why in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all we need, faced by all the enemies of life. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. That is how much God loves you and me as sinners. He was raised to life. He's ascended now. He has been saved by his Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ is always reigning now in the heavenly Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be made to abdicate. There is no threat to his rule and to his kingdom. People may deny him today, but the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be moved from his holy hill. He reigns in heaven forever, and his kingdom will be extended to all nations. And isn't it wonderful that because he reigns in heaven, we have access to God in prayer? Through Jesus and his shed blood, we have a mediator who can bring us to God our Father. And we can come to God through Jesus in prayer. And you can carry everything to God in prayer, just as we're reminded by Alex. What a privilege to pray. And the Lord answers from his holy hill. So faced by all the enemies of God's king, those who deny, and all the challenges of life, the muck of life, Isn't it marvellous that the Lord Jesus reigns on God's throne? Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Our time of need. Think of those enemies that we face as we follow Jesus as our King and Saviour. Trusting Jesus Christ does not free us from persecutions or satanic attack or temptation. Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. Only God's love in Jesus Christ can give us proper security and protection. See, where's our security this morning? Where's our protection? David says, "You're a shield around me. You sustain me. You lift up my head." And we have divine love and divine security in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can sleep at night, whatever's happening around us. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Jesus and his death, our enemies have been defeated, haven't they? I mean, just think of the enemy of death. 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The sting of death has been drawn. Some of us might be very close to death. But what a reassurance that is. That is the only true hope with the enemy of death. Its sting has been drawn. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns. Think of those who deny the Lord Jesus around you. In families, at work, at school, at college, and who mock. We pray today, don't we, that they turn and trust Jesus. This can't be our prayer. In fact, our prayer, we're going to pray it in a moment, is, "May your name be honoured, may your kingdom come in the life of that denier, that mocker, that person who gives you a hard time, that person who's just indifferent to the most important thing in all the world. May your kingdom come. May your name be honored." And his kingdom, the Lord's kingdom, will come either in salvation for them. And we pray that for people, don't we? Or his kingdom will come as they're judged by King Jesus at the end of time. Be reassured, there will be judgment for the enemies of King Jesus. So what a marvelous reminder that is, that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have all that we need, surrounded by all the enemies who are mean and mocking in all the muck of life. Listen again to Hebrews 4 verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the extraordinary privilege of being able to cry to you, our Heavenly Father, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that that in itself is entirely of grace, that it's only because Jesus died that we can have access to you as sinners. Thank you that we can come to the throne of grace, that the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning at your right hand side, that we can come with confidence, whoever we are, whatever we've done, however desperate and difficult the situation is, however despairing we are. And that as we come to you, we will find and receive all the mercy and grace that we need for our time of need. Thank you that as we look to you, you lift up our head. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.